Good morning. On behalf of my mother, my sister, our spouses, grandchildren, and the entire Campbell family, I'd like to thank you for being here today. For those of you that are watching on the live stream, thank you wherever you are. I too want to thank for the many well wishes that we've had over these last couple weeks, the thoughtful notes, the texts, the phone calls, and certainly the prayers for my father and my mother and her well-being. We're forever appreciative. I do want to say that we are very thankful. We received a call this morning from Brother Todd Nybert that his wife, Lynn, was able to go to the Columbus Hospital this morning to hopefully get a couple of her her organs that she has been waiting for 8 months. And I can tell you unequivocally, my father is very pleased. Very pleased. Aaron Greenleaf's son, Tuck, was also placed in the hospital this morning with an emergency appendectomy. So those gentlemen won't be here with us, but we are pleased nonetheless. Very pleased. All right, Brother Larry.
Thank you, Michael. I'm reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if anyone would like to follow along. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. This is speaking to God's people, of course, speaking of God's people, the believer. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Let's pray together. Our great, our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you foremost for the unspeakable gift of your grace, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is Christ alone that gives sinners a good hope. It is Christ alone who is Himself our hope. It was the hope of our dear, dear departed brother. And oh, what a joy. What a joy it is for us who have experienced that same grace through the Lord Jesus Christ to know that He now stands in the presence of that one who loved Him and gave Himself for Him. He now beholds the King in His beauty. What unspeakable, everlasting delight and joy He is now experiencing. And it's only because of the good hope through grace that He was given, through your unmerited favor and mercy. Oh Father, may Christ be exalted this day. The best way we can honor our friend is to honor his Savior. bless everything that's done, every song, every prayer. God, help us to exalt our Redeemer. Our dear brother, Marvin, as he stands here to deliver the message, grant him the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for the honor, the privilege it was to know this dear man, Brother Lindsay. What a friend. What a faithful, faithful friend and brother. Lord, we pray that you would bless this assembly who will miss him terribly. But God, we ask that you would do for them what you did for him, what you do for all your children. Give them grace to look to Christ, to keep our eyes upon our Redeemer. Again, Father, thank you. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for grace. Thank you for salvation in him. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Michael Lindsay Campbell, 74, was called home to glory September 27, 2021, in Danville, Kentucky. Born April 6, 1947, in Dayton, Ohio, he was the son of Woodson and the late Janetta Campbell. Lindsay was co-owner of Lexington Insurance Agency in Lexington, Kentucky. He was a charter member of Grace Baptist Church. His love of family, friends, and his community embodied his strength and faithfulness. Lindsay loved watching his grandchildren participate in their sporting and school events. He is predeceased by a brother, Kenzie Judy Campbell, and a sister, Debbie Jim Hume. Lindsay is survived by his wife, Diane Blake Campbell, his son, Michael Nicole Blake Campbell, his daughter, Michelle Bill Campbell Augustine, sisters, Sharon K. Campbell and Brenda Rick Miller, brother Mel Barbara Campbell, and five grandchildren, Eloise Campbell Augustine, William Blake Augustine, Blake Ryan Campbell, Grace Carey Augustine, and Margaret Ann Campbell, and many nieces and nephews. Psalm 116:16 reads, O Lord, I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. And our dear brother is truly loosed from the bonds that bind us as long as we're in this flesh. He's loosed from dragging around what Paul called the body of this death. He's loosed from all the hindrances that prevented him from loving and worshiping his Savior as he desired. He is loosed from worry, from fear, from the dread of what might or might not come to pass. No more shackles, no more sin. There are many men and women that I admire. Some are historical figures, and some are people that I have met and known through the years. And most of these men and women I admire for their achievements, for what they've done. There are very few people, however, I can probably count on one hand, that I have known, who I have looked at and thought, I wish I was more like him or more like her. And Lindsay Campbell was at the top of that list. He was one of the most patient, thoughtful, and kind people I've ever had the privilege of knowing. He never forgot a birthday. He never forgot an anniversary. You could count on getting a birthday card from Lindsay about as sure as you could figure on the sun coming up the next day. Larry Brown and I were texting back and forth while Lindsay was sick, and Larry told me that he had been reminded that he had a birthday coming up. And he said the one thing that was constant the last 21 years since he had known Lindsay was that there was going to be a birthday card in that mailbox. But not this year. But I told him don't bet on it, because my daughter had gotten a card from Lindsay a week after he was in the hospital. So that was Lindsay. Let me give you another example of his thoughtfulness. Several years ago, Lindsay and Michael, Lindsay's brother Mel, and Mel's son Matthew and I were hiking in the mountains of Colorado. And that particular day happened to be my birthday. I don't remember which one. And when we reached the top of one of the 14,000-foot mountains that we climbed that day, Lindsay reached in his backpack and pulled out a pack of Hostess chocolate cupcakes and a candle and a lighter. And they sang happy birthday to me while we were up in the clouds. I never would have thought to do that. Never. But that was Lindsay. And I know for certain that there is one man that Lindsay knew who he wanted to be just like. That man is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? His desire has come to pass. He is now an exact duplicate of Christ himself. Absolutely perfect in every way. If he wasn't, he wouldn't be there. God only allows perfection in his presence. And right now, thanks to the finished work of Christ, our dear brother is now the epitome of perfection. Indistinguishable in righteousness and holiness from Christ himself. Think about that. So let us remember what it was like to have had the privilege of being part of and witness to a life lived so well. And let us try each day to be a bit more kind, a bit more loving, a bit more thoughtful, a bit more patient, and a bit more caring, a bit more like our friend Lindsay Campbell.
Mother and son. Savior and friend. Nothing I've sought on earth satisfies. He, I was designed to thirst after Christ. Beckoned by Him, drink and be filled. I am content, yet yearn for Him still. Christ is sufficient. His work is finished. He is perfect, Father and end. Christ is enough, my Savior and friend. Nothing but Christ can undo the fall. He will return to reign over all. Come to us, Lord, right every wrong. Some are redeemed, will join heaven's song. Christ is sufficient.
Last Thursday, give me a second, Michael, Mom, and I were able to spend time with Dad at the hospital. We were talking, trying to talk, actually. The mask was so large over his face that we couldn't understand anything he said. In fact, he was yelling, and it didn't help. And at one point, I just started laughing because it was funny. And we should laugh when something is funny. But we finally landed on a form of communication of just nodding. And towards the end of the night, I asked Dad three questions. The first question, Dad, you're working so hard, aren't you? He nodded. The second question, Dad, do you want to quit fighting? No, he vigorously shook his head. Now, before I tell you the third question I asked Dad, I want to read something to you. August 26, 1992, I received a letter from Dad. It was the first day of my senior year of high school, and Dad proceeded to write me a letter every school day that year. I want to read for you the last letter that he wrote me, dated June 4, 1993, graduation day. Today is the day. You have traveled along the path of schooling for 13 years, and tonight completes that journey. This also is the end of 169 daily 3M highways. That was his title for the letters, 3M highways, which stands for Michelle, Michael, Mom. I've contemplated on how to end these daily journals. My first thought was a stop sign, but you, highway, stop sign, street signs. My first thought was a stop sign, but your educational setting does not end today, so that sign isn't appropriate. Throughout the year, there have been approximately 70 different signs used. Today's sign has not been used during the year, and the thought came to me that it best fits the need. You're at a crossroad on your life's journey. This is just one of the many in which you already have traveled, and the first of many more to come in the future. Each of us has daily decisions to be made. Though difficult, they must be made, and we must learn to live with them. What advice can I give you at this crossroad? Seek the Lord. In him is the answer of life. Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Have a good day. Love, Dad. The third question I asked Dad last Thursday was, Dad, are you at peace? He nodded.
I have props. So, this is the sequel. This is the sequel. Instead of 3M Highways, it's Wheezy Way now. Wheezy's Way. 213 letters. Every single day of my senior year of high school until my delayed graduation. As I have reread every letter over the past 2 days, here are just a couple of the lessons that Papa instilled in me. Ones that I think that embody him as a person, and ones that I can only hope and pray to emulate like he did. Unless it was broccoli for dinner, never once did I hear Papa complain. He was a man of gratefulness and perseverance who relied on the Lord's direction and guidance to lead him through life. That was his attitude, and he often reminded me that a strong, positive attitude is necessary in order to focus on dreams and goals. For my 16th birthday, Papa took me to fly a little plane. And I'm telling you, no training. No, like, intro course. Just threw me in a plane and said, fly it. And on the plane, there was this instrument panel where there was an attitude indicator to let the pilot know that where the position of the plane was in relation to the horizon. And just as you wanted to keep the nose of the plane above the lines on the indicator, so also Papa made sure I knew to keep my nose up and stay positive. And even when things spin out of control, when well-laid plans go awry indeed, when carefully crafted backup plans blow up in our faces, and all that we had expected to happen vaporizes into actually what happens, we are reminded that it is God's will, and not ours, that shall be done, and we are humbled into our proper place, and God is exalted to his proper place. And that is positively good. Never forget to focus on the vision, not the circumstance, and keep your nose up. Papa always knew who he was and whose he was. He was willing to be a person of integrity and honor at all costs because he represented the Campbells, his company, his church, and most importantly, his Lord. He constantly throughout my life and my mom's and my uncle's instilled the importance of reputation and how important it is to earn a reputation for being reliable, hardworking, trustworthy, others-minded, family-centered person whose character is more important than personal gain, and whose principles are superior to convenience. He said to me, live so that others have no doubt where you stand, how you behave, and how you compete without ever quitting. And it is not what you eventually do for a living, but what matters is what you do for the living. Learn to be a giver in a world of takers. Do not settle for the ordinary. Go forth and do the extraordinary. You are the Lord's. Do his work. Always remember who you are and whose you are. My Papa and I over the past couple years have shared the tradition of trading off inspirational or motivational books that we enjoy. Initially, these books surrounded the lives of Olympic athletes or college sports teams, but in the past 2 years, the focus has shifted entirely onto the Navy SEALs. Papa and I love the Navy SEALs and all they stand for and the values they portray. The book, Make Your Bed, by Admiral McRaven, continues to be our favorite, and the last chapter discusses the lesson that Papa emphasized most. In the middle of all Navy SEAL training camps, there is a bell. All a trainee has to do to get out of early mornings, cold swims, painful workouts, and draining obstacle courses is ring that bell. Ringing the bell is the easy way out, though. Quitting. Those who stayed refused to give up on their dreams, stood tall and strong against the odds, and never gave up. Papa was one of those men, an unofficial Navy SEAL who never, ever rang the bell and instead let the Lord do it for him. I know he would say this if he was here, so I'll say it for him, but never, ever ring the bell. Through all 213 letters and every conversation, Papa encouraged and loved me, my number one fan and supporter. But even more than he loved me, Papa loved the Lord and would only hope that you would see his love for the Lord more than you can see how much he loved his grandkids. And maybe he's telling the Lord about us right now, but he's home and we can only rejoice and anticipate the day where we join him. Papa truly left a legacy, and I'll sure miss the book trades, butter pecan ice cream, red velvet cake, hiking trips, red and white peppermints during church, watching Shark Tank together, and getting a plant every time I saw him. But Papa, know that I won't forget to focus on the vision, not the circumstance. I'll remember who I am and whose I am. And I'll never ever ring the bell. And I'll keep doing sit-ups and maybe buy a Calvin's for you, too. I love you. I miss you. I love your number one fans, Louise.
You expect me to follow that? Are you nuts? I can guarantee you that we did not talk about what we were speaking. We did not share notes, and maybe we should have. I've thought for years in all the conferences that we had here at this church, I'm like, I wonder if they ever talk about what they're going to preach on, because what if they preach on the same thing? But that's all right, because every message of this church was the same message. Is that right? Unfortunately, in today's political climate and amongst this pandemic, which has obviously caused our family much strife, many others as well, my dad will only be listed as a statistic for our leaders to volley and argue about. But I can assure you, unequivocally, Lindsey Campbell was no statistic. If you will allow, let me take the next few minutes speaking about my father, and hopefully do so in a way that causes us to laugh, to smile, maybe shed a tear or two. But in all things, may it bring glory to my dad's Savior and Heavenly Father. Mom, I'll do best to stay brief. Faith, I'm so glad you're sitting here. I am. We've been truly humbled by the outpouring of support from folks across the country, across the globe. Mom got a text from someone in England earlier in the week. Never met him. Through the power of the stream, Michelle even remarked that last night was somewhat fun, getting to see old faces and old friends. But to be honest, the number of people that have been here and reached out really doesn't surprise me. In some way, shape, or form, my father, Lindsey Campbell, had some sort of impact on your life. It may have been through the leading of the singing here at Grace Church. Perhaps it was through the Danville Little League, Danville High School football, baseball, cross country. Maybe it was his years in the insurance business. Or perhaps it was the Saturday morning discussions at the Danville Liars Club. I say those things not in arrogance. I say those not in pride for my father, because every one of you would agree he would have hated this. He would have been questioning all the fuss about him. He would be upset at these comments, for he was the most humble and the most simple man I've ever known. While he led singing, taught Sunday school, and preached often from this pulpit, the last thing he would ever want would be the center of attention. He would never want to receive praise. It is why when we ate downstairs, he was always the last to get his food. While he would always stand in the back, it is why he never made anything about himself. He was a servant, called of God to glorify and bring honor to the Lord. He never, ever, ever rang the bell. Dad was slow and methodical. He was a creature of habit. He always did the same things. He called my grandparents on Monday evening, called my sister on Friday afternoons. He rode the same roads, stopped at the same gas stations, ate at the same restaurants, and ordered the same food. So whether it was Jeff Ruby's or Ruth Chris or the Q, he ordered the same thing. Chicken. But not broccoli. Not broccoli. Oh, that man hated broccoli. Oh, he hated it. And I found it funny when Michelle, Mom, and I were able to go to the hospital last Wednesday. We walk in, and I looked over at the dinner tray, and there was a bowl of broccoli. No wonder Dad didn't eat for the last couple weeks. I doubt many of you know this, but my father, like his siblings, grew up in what could be said as humble surroundings. He began a paper route at 10 years old and delivered papers every day until he left college. Rarely, if he ever, missed a day. Through rain, sleet, snow, and the cold, cold winters of Dayton, Ohio, perhaps that's why he had such a strong work ethic, often being in the office before 6 a.m., often not leaving until 7 to come home to his home office to work more. He worked his way through school and was quite successful, eventually owning Lexington Insurance Agency. Eloise, Will, Blake, Grace, and Margaret, look no farther than your pawpaw. Adapt his character. Adapt his servantship and his work ethic. Never say no to a friend or a loved one in need. Pawpaw never did. And you do that, and you'll be successful in any walk of life that you ever go on. He never, ever, ever rang that bell. Over this past week, several have said we are hoping and praying for a miracle. And we appreciate those thoughts and sentiments. And I know that they're meant genuinely. But folks, I'm here to tell you that indeed a miracle happened. But it happened long ago. Before the skies were formed and before the light of the day was seen, God Almighty in His divine wisdom and grace said, Lindsay Campbell, you are mine. Oh, what great and comfort and peace we should find in Him. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. During times of trouble and in times of loss, words of encouragement and superlatives are often always abound. That certainly has been the case for the last 3 weeks. Here are some of the adjectives that I have been told to me personally about my father. Servant, selfless, steadfast, loyal, humble, tremendous, great, role model, buddy, friend, mentor, and blessed. And I agree, he was indeed those things. But he would first to tell you that he was just a man, a sinful man. And similar to what Paul wrote in 1 Timothy, sinners of whom I am chief. That is the way Dad saw himself. But Dad was a sinner, saved by grace and grace alone. Above all of the comments that was said, the one that stood out the most, the one that was often repeated the most, was faithful. So very, very faithful was he. Faithful to his family, faithful to his friends, faithful to his business partners and clients, and certainly faithful to this church and its message. Not one time in my life could I honestly say that Dad let me down. Not one time. Think about that for a moment. Never, ever let me down. Dad was a man of his word, was incredibly honest, dedicated. Blake, Margaret, it's my sincere hope that I can be half the father to you that Pawpaw was to me. Sure, I didn't agree with some things that he did, especially as I was growing up. I recall that Dad in sixth grade wouldn't let me buy parachute pants or a red Michael Jackson zipper jacket. He wouldn't let me get a spike haircut or grow a rat tail in my back of my hair. I didn't agree with him at the time. Looking back, what was I thinking? Parachute pants? He never, ever, ever rung that bell. Dad was faithful to his friends. He thoroughly enjoyed telling the tales at the Danville Liars Club on Saturdays. And he spoke of it often. Coach Kamek's Saturday order a sausage biscuit and orange juice for old time's sake. He was faithful to his friends, enjoyed hanging out with them, talking to them, sending birthday cards to them. Many of my friends, my own personal friends, would lean on my dad for advice or direction. His door was always open, and he accepted my friends as his own, Michelle's too. I wasn't older than probably 10, 12 years old, and our house was kind of the collecting place. And a bunch of our friends were playing baseball out in the backyard, and Dad came out and started playing with us as well. It was one of the few times he wasn't working. And as I was accustomed to do, and my uncle will attest to this, I got mad, I pouted, I complained. Well, Dad said, "That's enough," and I had to go. He put me in my room. I looked out the window, looked over the baseball field, and there was Dad still playing ball with my friends. That same window, years earlier, I witnessed another part of my dad's faithfulness in disciplining his children. Dad was mowing the backyard and told me, "Hey, pick up your balls, pick up your toys." When I didn't do it, he sent me to my room. As Dad pushed the lawn mower by my window, I thought it was a good idea to stick my tongue out at him. It was a really smart thing to do. Dad was never quick to discipline or quick to anger. He thoroughly thought everything out, rarely if he ever acted on emotion. So he let me percolate on it, think about it. So when he finished the yard, he came to my room, opened the door to find out it was locked. Dad was not coming into my room. That was an even smarter thing to do. I got disciplined that day, and disciplined in a way we can't do these days. It was deserved, and it was out of love and faithfulness. He never, ever rung that bell. Dad was faithful to our activities. Dad was never a big cheerleader, or so I thought. Well, at least not until Eloise started playing volleyball, and Blake playing baseball and basketball, Will soccer and so forth. It wasn't that Dad didn't want success for me. He just didn't feel the need to be that parent. You know, kind of like my mom. I recall one time playing a game over in Junction City, and the other parents were giving Dad a hard time for never standing up and being loud. So during the game, I hit a nice little jumper. Dad stood up, cheered louder than ever before. I'm running down the court, and like, who's this guy? My senior year at Danville, we won the school's first baseball region title. And well, I had a pretty good tournament. And after the championship game, parents and students were congratulating everyone. Dad walked over to me, very simply said five words. Five words. Dad simply said, "I am proud of you." Oh, what that means for a son to hear that from his father. And oh, I hope I made my dad proud. Michelle, he was so very proud of you. Don't cry. Proud of what you accomplished, proud of your family, your kids, and proud of the woman you came. Faithful are you, as it was he. So much of him I do see in you. Humble, never attention-seeking, beautiful heart and soul. Always with the right words, thoughtful and sure. And while it isn't the same, it's not the same as Dad. I am proud of you too. Last Thursday night, your words, they were perfect. I'll never forget them. Eloise, I'm sorry that he never got to see you play in person, play volleyball in college. I wish he would have. He was forever proud of you. He never missed a game and enjoyed watching you from the computer. One of the last games he was able to watch, he was so sick, he was in front of his laptop like this, just watching Eloise play. You have a heart like Papa. Strive to be like him. Will, Papa was equally proud of you. You have a kind heart, never high maintenance, and simple, in a good way, in the best of ways. He loved how you constantly could fix all of his technical things. He always worried about what you ate, about your food allergies, but loved it when you went to town on things. You know, kind of like bone meat. Blake, Pawpaw was your biggest fan. He thoroughly enjoyed watching you play baseball and basketball. Your constant hustle, aggressiveness made him proud. Keep working hard and never forgetting. He also loved spend time with you one-on-one, the lunches, conversations. More than once, he said, "Blake is so enjoyable to talk to." I would say, my son? But he would also say, he is so funny. He is really, really funny. Blake, allow the memory of him. Allow the memory of him to drive you to accomplish great things. Grace Pawpaw loved your spirit. He loved your demonstrative actions, your wonderful laugh, and the ability for you to have fun in about most everything that you did. He always saw you smiling, and that's a wonderful trait to have because he was always smiling. On this difficult day, cry not that you lost Pawpaw. Smile that you knew him so well. And finally, Margaret, Pawpaw said you were one of a kind, and certainly I agree. He was always amazed at your tenacity, your insistence on getting anything that you wanted. He recognized your gift of art, and like the rest of us, he couldn't win an argument with you either. He never, ever rang that bell. Dad was faithful to his country and to his community, whether it was serving as the president of the Little League, to working Coach Prummer's cross-country meets, or the 25 years he worked at the gate at the Danville High School football games. And while he never served in the country, he had great respect for those that did, and great respect for the values that this country was founded on. We were at a basketball game at Danville, probably my sophomore or junior year of high school, and the band started playing the national anthem. And while I stood up, I was cracking jokes and talking to my friends, not really paying attention. Following the home of the brave, he came down from the seat, took my collar, jerked me back, and said if he ever caught me disrespecting the flag again, it would be the last game that I ever go to. Blake, I have taught you at early age, when the national anthem is played, we stand at attention, we look at the flag, we place our hand over our heart to honor this great nation of ours. He never, ever, ever rang that bell. Dad was faithful to his family, and he was proud of being a Campbell. Not in a boastful manner, but it was honor for him to be the second son of my grandparents. Growing up, he would drop me off and drop Michelle off, and he would always say, "Don't forget who you are," or "Don't forget you're a Campbell." Blake is the only Campbell grandson. I hope that is in God's good providence to provide you and your potential wife a son. The Campbell name is well respected because of our great grandparents, our aunts and uncles, and certainly your pawpaw. It would be a blessing to carry on the Campbell name. While not a very good golfer, in fact, he was downright lousy. Dad loved the 25 years of the Campbell Open. He enjoyed the fellowship, the camaraderie, and the laughs. Oh, my goodness, the laughs. From the awful shots to the ribbing of his brothers and friends, it was truly the one year that Dad put away the work and the stress that came with it, enjoy the time. His laughter, Uncle Mel, still sits with me on those Campbell Opens. Dad could also be very direct when he needed to. You're going to be mad. Sometime not knowing exactly how it could be taken. After dating my mother for quite a period of time, they had dinner one night. Dad felt the need that he needed to break up with Mom. Being the gentleman he was, however, paid for the meal, drove Mom home, walked her up to the front door, and said goodnight. And as doing so, he reached out his hand, shook hers, and said, "May the Lord richly bless you." That's cold. It's okay to laugh. Mom, thank you for your faithfulness to Dad. Thanks for raising Michelle and I when he was working. Thanks for putting up with me, most of all. And thanks for being the greatest Nana to these grandkids. These next few days, weeks, and years, they're going to be tough, but we have much to be thankful for. We all do. You had the good pleasure of spending more time with Dad than anyone. He loved you so. Thought you were the most beautiful lady he had ever seen. And he loved your energy and strength. We are a family, and we will walk together forever, hand in hand. I love you. We are so very blessed to know our grandparents intimately for so long, both Campbells and the Blakes. blessed to have such a large family that at get-togethers, there was never any arguments, never any fighting, never any drama. And while he could not be with us today, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention my 99-year-old grandpa. Pray for him as you are led. I can't begin to fathom having to bury three kids. He will miss those weekly Monday phone calls from Dad. Four generations of Campbell men. It is I that have been truly blessed. Never, ever, ever ring that bell. Finally, and most importantly, my dad was faithful to this church and faithful to the cause of Christ. Beginning in April 1972, my father has stood in this pulpit, singing, teaching Sunday school, and preaching on the saving power of Jesus Christ. In a few minutes, my father will be laid in the ground directly behind us, and I think it fitting that his earthly body be laid by his dear friend and our loyal pastor, Don Foyer. What friendship they had. And thankful that are we that Dad got to serve alongside Don for 40 years. Two men with one wonderful message. On or about August 15th, 1989, my dad stood in this pulpit and preached the message that he had done numerous times before. The message, as was all Dad's teachings, was all about Christ and Christ crucified. Nothing, and I mean nothing, ever wavered that message from him. But in saying that, that message in 1989 was just a pinch different. You see, in a few days I was to leave for college. He stood up and, as stoic as always, looked directly at me in the pew right back there. And he said, "Michael, you're going to college in a few days. I trust everything Mom and Dad have taught you, you will be able to carry out as you leave home. But in the next few minutes, the sermon I will be preaching to you. Look at me. Pay attention and follow very closely. This will be the most important advice I ever give you." Eloise, Will, Blake, Grace, and Margaret, look at me. Pay attention and follow very closely to what I'm about to say about Pawpaw, the way he lived his life, his testimony, and his undying faithfulness to his Redeemer. Listen closely to Brother Marvin and Brother Larry to follow. Hang on to their every word. It's convenient to speak about the Lord and call upon His name when sickness or tragedy hits, but not Pawpaw. He called upon the Lord every day. Pawpaw's testimony, Pawpaw's his witness, was his daily walk. Faithful was he to serve. Faithful was he to pray, and faithful to seek God's counsel and forgiveness. And the Lord God Almighty called Pawpaw one of his own. I do not begin to understand the ways of the world and truthfully the ways of the Lord. Fred Evans spoke about this earlier this week. As Deuteronomy 29:29 states, and Larry, in his passage he read earlier, the secret things belong unto the Lord. Therefore, I do not know why Dad passed away on Monday. I don't know why God called Papa home after 3 weeks of being sick. I don't know why God sent a pandemic to take his life. And truthfully, I don't know why God gave Lindsay Campbell to be a faithful husband, a faithful father, grandfather, son, brother, uncle, and friend. But I do know this. God makes no mistakes. He has no accidents. And in Paul's passing and ascension to heaven, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal life. And in all, Lord God received all the glory. Paul's daily prayer was for Michelle and I and then the five of you to know the Lord. That He calls upon you to be born again, faultless from sin, blessed in mercy, and glorified in His dear Son. On that day back in 1989, as my father spoke to me from this pulpit, his message was quite simple, and I say it to kids, Michelle said earlier, seek Christ. Seek Him with all your heart. Pray that He reveals Himself to you, not only today or tomorrow, but daily. Be fervent in your prayer. And at the time of God's choosing, may it be His will to call you, to call upon your name and call you one of His own. That was Pawpaw's prayer, and may it be yours as well. Never, ever, ever ring that bell. And what does that all mean? As many of you know, my dad was an avid reader, sometimes reading 3, 4, or 5 books at a time. And over the last 10 years, as Eloise so eloquently stated, really enjoyed reading books about the Navy SEALs and the ones she's speaking of, Navy Admiral William McGrady. SEAL training is meant to be the toughest of tough, to test one's mental and physical limits. Less than 20% of all candidates complete the training. But to quit, one simply has to ring the bell 3 times. Lindsey Campbell, he never, ever, ever rang the bell. But Lord God Almighty, in His wisdom and grace, in His infinite mercy, sent His only Son, Christ Jesus, to ring Pawpaw's bell, to free him from the shackles and the burdens of the world, to acquit him of all sin. Before the foundation of the world, God called His Son to save sinners, to save Pawpaw, and to be a substitute in ringing the bell. And now, sitting with the saints in glory, He is in the presence of God Almighty. No, Pawpaw didn't die. He did not ring that bell. He is alive, never to be separated from Christ again. Pawpaw never, ever, ever rang that bell. But he had a Savior that gladly took his place. And at noon on Monday, September the 27th, with Nana at his side, singing Amazing Grace and There is a Fountain Filled with Blood, God called Papa home to glory. And I can't help to think, as he approached his precious Redeemer, Christ looked and said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." We're very pleased here to have Brother Marvin Stoniker, pastor of the Katy Baptist Church in Fairmont, West Virginia, to bring our message.
Lindsey Campbell was my friend. That's how he addressed me. My dear friend. That's the way he called me. He'd chit-chat for a minute. Earlier this week, when I received the call that he had passed away, immediately my mind was racing on, okay, what would be the arrangements? How would I kind of change everything so I can be there? Oh, I don't know if I can be there. I don't know if I can make this work. I had a dear friend one time tell me, we often get one chance to do the right thing. So while I was just pretty well convinced, I cannot work this out. There's no way I can work this out. Michael calls me and says, "My mom wanted me to call you." As soon as he said that, I thought, "Let's be there. I need you to take care of the closing comments at the gravesite." I said, "Okay, that's what we'll do." So I get a call this morning from Todd, and they found donors. Todd says, "Marvin, I can't make it. I need you to take that service." I'll tell you what I thought. The lot is laid in the lap, and the whole disposing of it is of the Lord. I'm going to make a few comments out of Revelation chapter 7. The next morning after I'd spoken with Michael, this passage came to my mind. I want to just take Revelation 7, and this is what I'm thinking about. our departed brethren. We speak and knowing that they're with the Lord. We know that from the Scriptures. And in the book of Revelation, if you've got your Bible with you, I want you to look at verse 13, Revelation 7:13. Let me just say, while you're turning, let me tell you what has come about in this passage of Scripture. The Lord is going to allow the winds. Church, verse 1 says, Revelation 7, after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth. You know, we speak of the Spirit of God as being the wind. It blows as the wind. This is not that. The winds here, these four winds that are going to go forth, are going to be that which Almighty God allows to go forth. These winds of deception. Deception. They're going to be blown upon the earth. You know, Almighty God orders all things. And whenever the Lord allows whatever goes through this earth, He does it to His glory and the good of His people. But before these winds of deception are going to be released by these angels, an angel in verse 2 says, ascended from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we've sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Almighty God is going to protect His people, but who said He's everlastingly loved. And they're not going to be deceived. They're not going to be tossed with every wind of doctrine, deception. God's going to protect them. Well, they are sealed. They're protected. And Almighty God, after sealing and protecting His people, the Scripture says in verse 9 of Revelation 7, John speaking, and he said, after this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Now here we behold this great number. No man can number. God knows them. Man would be better off trying to count the grains of dust upon this earth than he would know those who are the Lord's. And here they are. They've been sealed in their forehead, and God has protected them, kept them from deception, kept by the power of God from this era, at this world. They're not going to leave this world tossed to and fro. And John is allowed to see this throng standing there, clothed in white robes. And I began to think on this passage as I looked over it, and I thought, God's people are there. They're there. What are they doing? There's so much that we don't know. There's so much that we're left in, you know, ignorance. The Lord knows. But I looked at this passage of Scripture and I thought, now here's a multitude. John sees them in verse 9. They're from everywhere. And in verse 10, what are they doing? Here's what they're doing. 10, 11, 12. They cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Our God. Our God. What's He doing? Which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. I thought, this is the God that this world doesn't know. Our God rules. David, where's your God? Our God's in heaven. What's He doing?
whatever he's pleased to do. And verse 11 says that all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. I thought to myself, I know so little about that. Worshiping God, we assemble ourselves together. Well, we say we're going to a worship service. Oh, how little I know. Verse 12 says, this is what they were saying. Amen. So be it. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. So be it. John's looking at this. And he's beholding. This is where the departed saints of God are now. If you want to know where Brother Lindsay is. You want to know where Brother Don is? You want to know where they are? Right now, according to these scriptures, the only authority that has any merit to it whatsoever, what are they doing? They're standing before the throne. And they see Him. And they know Him. He knows them. And here's what they're saying. Blessing and glory, wisdom, thanksgiving. Oh, thank you. Thank you that I'm here. Honor. Honor. The only honor that is deserving to you. Power and might be unto our God. What power do we have? We're frail creatures of the dust. We're just here for a moment. Oh, but unto Him forever and ever. And then John said, one of the elders, verse 13, answered, saying unto me, now listen to this question. I thought, what a question. What or who are these which are arrayed in white robes? Who are these? Who are these people? Who are these people standing in white robes? Now he's asking a question that he's going to answer in just a moment. And listen to the second part of that question. And whence came they? Now you talk about a question. Now here's a question. Who are they and where did they come from? That's what he's asking. Who are these people? John, the scripture says, verse 14, answers out of complete submission to the one doing the asking. And he said, sir, you know. Who are these that are standing there in these white robes? And then that one that asked him, that elder, said, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Who are these people? I tell you who they are. These are the elect of God. Those that were chosen before the foundation of the world, that Almighty God loved with an everlasting love, that though nothing was found in them, according to His will, He chose to show mercy. Moses asked Him, Exodus 33:19, show me Your glory. Show me Your glory. Here is the glory of God according to the Lord's answer. Here's His glory. I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. And I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. And the Spirit of God moved upon the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 9 to say this, so then, it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. These, verse 14, are they which came out of great tribulation. This great tribulation. What is this? We're in it. We're in it right now. This is this great tribulation of these afflictions and trials and persecutions of this world. Oh, but the affliction from within, the fighting and the warring within. The Lord told His disciples, He said, you'll be hated of all men for My name's sake. They came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They have robes that were not of their making. This is the imputed robe of Christ's righteousness. These are they that were chosen of the Father and given to the Son, and those who the Son, the surety, who stood and answered the demand for the justice of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He, the Father, hath made Him sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. These are the ones that the Spirit of God came in the day of love across their path through the hearing of the gospel. Called them power, grace, made them willing in the day of His power. And the Scripture says they've come and they've had their robes washed by faith in the blood of the Lamb. I thought of this Scripture so many times, I thought they washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. You know, this is the only place you're ever going to find that blood washes anything white. Oh, the preciousness of His blood. That blood that is beheld by the Father. That blood that was put on the doorpost there in Egypt. Almighty God said to Moses, tell the people, you put the blood on the doorpost. And when I pass through, when I see the blood, I'm going to pass over you. And the Scripture says in verse 15, and therefore are they before the throne. These that God Almighty has everlasting to love. Those that God chose to be there with Him. What are they doing? I tell you what they're doing. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and they serve Him. They worship Him. Now this is something, now just think about what I'm about to read. They serve Him, they worship Him day and night in His temple. We're so frail. I can't even try to pray and keep my mind constant. I catch myself just so, but where was I? I called myself praying. Let me tell you what they're doing. Separated from the body of this death that you just mentioned. Separated from the very presence of sin. Standing in the very presence of God. They worship day and night in His temple. And He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. He'll put His tabernacle over him. And Scripture says in verses 16, and they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. There's not going to be anything that's withheld from them that they need. What do they need? I don't know. I don't know. But I can tell you this, there'll be no need that's not supplied. Verse 17, for the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them. They're going to be fed by the Lord Jesus Christ. He who loved them, lived for them, died for them. He who ever liveth to make intercession for them. He who said, Father, I will that where I am, there they may be also. Here they are. They behold His glory. And the Scripture says, and when He feeds them, that is to tend to them, to nourish them and cherish them. Oh, we try to be a little encouragement to each other, you know, and help each other and say, I'm going to be praying for you. But the Scripture says there, the Lord Himself is feeding them. And then it says, and shall lead them into living fountains of water. That is, lead them to teach them, to show them or guide them in the revelation of the living waters of God's mercy and grace. I'm the first to admit I don't understand all that I'm reading, but I believe it. And then lastly, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Not an angel. Almighty God. God who spoke this world into existence. God who says, and it is. God Himself, in absolute tenderness and compassion and mercy, Scripture says, shall wipe away their tears. You know, right now, here we are, we're hurting. I've looked at and I've listened to these things that's been said that were so tender and they're so sweet. And my heart was just moved. And I watched you, I saw you. You know, you couldn't hold back your emotions. We love Lindsay. We miss it, Miss Dawn. These men that I talk to all the time. I love them. I love them. I'm not going to say loved. I love them. I miss them. My heart breaks. Betty Gruber told me one time, a believer dies and this is our attitude. We rejoice with a tear in our eye. But there's coming a time when there won't be any more tears. And God will wipe away. Right now, this presence of sin, this body of death, we have anxiety, we're troubled on every side, but oh, in that day, freed from the very presence of sin, never again to know the occasion of weeping, or despair, or tribulation. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Deliver us from the body of this death according to your good pleasure, your glory, and our eternal good. Amen. Okay.
Let us all sing a very special hymn out of your hymnal, number 256. If you would stand with me, please, sing, "It Is Well With My Soul."
Give you thanks for our dear brother Lindsey Campbell. We thank you for his faithfulness. His faithfulness to us individually. But most of all, his faithfulness to Christ and the glory of Christ. We thank you that in his life, he sought to glorify Christ. And we pray that in his death, that Christ would be glorified as well. We thank you for the blessed assurance, knowing that he is now in the presence of our dear Savior, worshiping him perfectly. How we give you thanks. Lord, we also know that our dear brother Lindsay prayed for his family, for his children, for his grandchildren, that he earnestly prayed that you might have mercy upon them, that you might give them that which is most needful, and that's life and faith in Jesus Christ. And we ask the same. Lord, let us continue that prayer for him and pray that you would be merciful, not only to his family and his children, but also to our families and our children. We'll pray that if it might please you, that you would continue to use this small band of believers here in this church to continue the furtherance of the gospel for the increase of your kingdom, for the glory of Christ. And Lord, we pray that today, that as the gospel has been preached, that if it might please you, that at least one person may have heard the truth of the gospel, that they might believe in Christ and have life. But we pray for this dear family. Pray that you would comfort them in this time of an earthly loss. Pray that you would minister to their needs according as only you can. Provide comfort. Provide peace. Provide comfort. Remind each and every one of us that all things are of God, and that you do all things perfect for the good of your people and for the glory of Christ. Lord, let each and every day for us be thanksgiving. Thankful that we've had men like Lindsay in our life. I thank you, Lord, for crossing our paths for the past 36 years. I give you thanks. Thank you for him. Most of all, thank you for Christ. Have mercy upon us. We ask that your will be done in all things, that we would bow to your will, and we ask that you would forgive us for our sins. Amen. Amen. Also, I want to say that there will be a brief burial service following immediately here, and then also the family request that you'll stay and join us for a lunch that's going to be served down in the basement with some fellowship. So, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.